Tonight's the night. She's in my arms. Yes, in my arms. One day you'll find a girly, and then you'll understand that a girl can drive a man crazy, and she'll have you in the palm of her hands with a beep, beep, beep.
I'll tell you what, I love barbershop music. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. And when I was in high school, teenager, I sang in a barbershop quartet for a while, and I don't think we sounded as good as the Port Washington High School Barbershop Quartet you just heard. They're really great. And we're talking about a cappella groups today. With us by phone, a couple of people, Colin Crowley, a producer at PBS Wisconsin. Colin, hi, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Larry, thanks for inviting me.
And Dennis Gephardt, the choral director at Port Washington High School. Dennis, thank you for joining us. Not hearing Dennis here. Maybe we lost him, possibly. I tell you what, they're both involved in a new PBS Wisconsin special that is premiering tonight. It's called Acapocalypse. Acapella's New Note. And so we'll talk about the show for a little while here with them. Are you a fan of acapella? Have you noticed changes to the genre in the last decade or so? I hope you can join the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Well, I tell you what, we've both got Colin and Dennis with us. Colin, let's go to you. You've produced this new PBS Wisconsin special. What got you interested in a cappella? Were you a barbershop quartetter at one point?
Well, what's interesting is I really came to this from the outside. I didn't have much experience or exposure to a cappella music, but one of the things we do at PBS Wisconsin is we like to highlight different musical activities that are happening in Wisconsin high schools. So it was brought to our attention that there was this really great a cappella program happening in Port Washington High School, and that every spring they host a concert where they invite some of the best a cappella groups from around the state. So I wanted to look into this a little bit more, and I went and met with Dennis, and having no exposure to this, he brought me into his classroom and said, how about you just come up with any song on the radio? And so I gave him a song, and within about 10 minutes, this group of high school students had arranged their own arrangement of this popular radio song, and they sang it for me, and I was absolutely blown away. I was just sitting in the middle of this classroom, and I was washed over by this wall of sound and these perfect harmonies that these kids created. And I realized, okay, there's something here. And then for the next 2 months, myself and cameraman and editor James Donovan, we just spent as much time as we could in these three high schools around the state, Port Washington, Gale Electric Tremplo over in Galesville, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee High School of the Arts. And so we just kind of went into these classrooms, showed how these teachers work, showed how hard these students work to get these arrangements up and ready to perform. And then last March, the PBS Wisconsin remote production crew came out to Port Washington High School, and we filmed this amazing concert that these Wisconsin high school students put on. And then we spent the rest of the year putting it all together into this show that airs tonight. So it's a combination of documentary footage in the classroom behind the scenes and live concert footage.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing and listening to it tonight, for sure. I want to turn to Dennis for a minute. How long have you been teaching a cappella at Port Washington High School?
I was hired in 2001, and at that time we had a show choir. So I was more into the vocal jazz scene and things like that. And I was trying to find a way how I could get kind of transfer the show choir aspect of it to something else. So we actually started in 2001, and we went to Kenosha High School, and we saw a Madrigal Dinner. And I was talking with the kids, and I said, this is something that we should be looking into and as we change our program around. So we actually started as a Madrigal dinner, and we did that for about 13 years. So we did that at the first part of the year where kids were writing their own programs, their own two-hour show and skits and things like that. And it was all a cappella because that's what Madrigals were at the time. And so we did that until January. Once January came around, we had this free time. So we said, well, let's try to start with vocal jazz. And then in 2001, a cappella really was in a vocal jazz. It was kind of in a transition zone. So we started to do vocal jazz, and then we found some charts that were a little bit more contemporary, so some of the songs that the kids actually knew. So we started to throw that in there. And ever since then, we've had a good mix for about 13 years, and contemporary a cappella just kind of is what we were known for, so we started to do that all year round. Since 2001.
Oh, man. And the Acapocalypse, which is a mouthful to say, I can tell you that. That concert, so that was sort of just generated from all of this?
Yeah, because we were doing it for so long, there was we were doing things with the Wisconsin State Music Association, and we were hosting intro sessions at the conventions, and we've been featured a lot of places. And I had all these people come up to me and ask me, you know, how do you get into it? Where do you find the music? You know, how do you teach it? Because there are at times like 9 to 10, 11 parts in a score, which is unconventional for high school kids. So we were doing this, and I'm like, there's just got to be a way I can show them, because I always couldn't bring my students with me. So we decided to have our own festival. We had gone to some festivals out in Ohio and things like that and competed in New York City. But the people that were here in Wisconsin weren't ready for that. So we just decided to have our own festival, and so we could showcase the great things that kids are doing and the high school kids are doing.
It's absolutely wonderful. Tom in Ashland, Wisconsin's online. Let's get Tom involved here. Tom, thank you for calling.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call. I've been singing as long as I can remember. I sang in every choir in school, in high school, and college. And when I got up here to Ashland, there was a men's choir at Northland College called the Northland College Voyageurs. And our director had taken songs that the Voyageurs used to sing while they were paddling canoes, and also songs from the lumber camps in the 1800s and Great Lakes sailing songs, and arranged them himself in sort of a barbershop style. And we used to go all over Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan singing these things. It was just great fun, and his arrangements were great. And there's a small contingent of us who actually still get together and sing these songs. We sing them in public whenever we can. If you've ever been to the Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward, you've probably seen us dressed up like lumberjacks singing the national anthems. And so we're called Les Fils de Voyageur, which means the Sons of the Voyageur, or in our lumberjack incarnation, we're called the Pinery Boys. And I just can't say enough about how much fun it is to sing harmony with other people. And you get, you know, when you're right on and the chords are in tune and things, you get a feeling that you never get doing anything else. And so I would encourage anybody to do that. And hope that I might see some of you out there at an event somewhere.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for calling. Well, let's get a comment from Colin.
Well, I think what he brings up a really good point in that, you know, he's talking about singing a cappella songs from over a century ago, and that, you know, human beings getting together and combining their voices is probably the oldest form of music that we have. So I think what makes this new movement of contemporary a cappella so powerful is that you're seeing young kids get excited about this style of music again that had kind of fallen off for some decades. And I think that's also part of the power of hearing this music, is that when you hear this wall of sound that I talked about before, it's all being created by the human voice. And there's something very vulnerable to that, and there's something very powerful to that. And that's something we really worked hard to capture in this show. And I think viewers are going to be rewarded with that when they watch that and see both the classroom scenes and the concert.
And Dennis, is it was really great to hear our caller, but how has it captured the students at Port Washington High School? Is there quite a number of kids involved?
Yeah, we actually have two groups. One group, which is the group that's on the show Limited Edition, and they're part of daily classes. And then we also have an extracurricular group called Focus, which meets once a week with another director that comes up. He's actually an engineer. His name is Steven Lanza, and he volunteers his time to come up and work with those kids. In addition, we have an extracurricular men's choir and an extracurricular women's vocal jazz ensemble. So I think one of the things that the kids love about it is it's their chance to tell their stories. They love the barbershop. They love doing all the historical pieces in the regular classroom, but they have a genre that's all theirs and exclusively theirs. And they're developing it as it goes right now with contemporary a cappella. So all their stories and the music that they've been listening to and relating to, they're able to share that with a whole other generation that may be older than them, that they can display to those people.
And, you know, we have a little piece that I think Tyler Ditter, our engineer, could play for us. Let's hear a little sample.
Got some good old loving and I got some more in store. When I get through throwing it on, you gotta come on back for more. Boys will come along and down by the dozen. That ain't nothing but chance and loving. Pretty young thing, let me light your candle, cause honey, I'm so hard to handle now, yes I am.
And we'll take a big bow at the end, literally. Mama, I'm so hard to handle now, bow.
Oh man! Now that does not sound like the barbershop music that I sang way back when, but it's sure lively and it sure sounds a lot of fun. They sound like they're having just a great time, Dennis.
Yeah, and in fact, when we recorded that one, Colin wanted to see what an actual day was because he had come in and we had these pieces that were ready for performing. We do a lot of outside performances, and he's like, but you know, just show me what your regular day looks like. So that was, I think, the second rehearsal that we had with that piece. And a lot of times if they talk about it in the show about the rehearsal process, and what we do is we give the kids music and they come into the classroom knowing the pieces of music so that we can focus on the musical part of it and really developing the song rather than sitting and plunking the notes. There's a lot of individual commitment to having things prepared ahead of time. But when you were talking about barbershop, it is very similar to just the traditional barbershop, just with a little difference in chord structure and a different message. But, yeah, they love it.
Was it hard for the kids to perform with Colin and crew there?
Only when they got really close in the close-ups. Kids just don't like to be in cameras and so we would be performing and a lot of times when we're performing for people we focus on using each other as kind of building each other up, so the kids are looking at everybody, and then all of a sudden like James would come in and he'd be about a foot away from one of the girls and you could just see their heads go down and things start falling apart. But yeah, other than that, they were there enough times that Colin and James, they were just kind of like part of the group for 3 months.
Oh, man. Talking today with Colin Crowley, producer at PBS Wisconsin, Dennis Gephardt, the choral director at Port Washington High School, and creator and host of the Acapocalypse concert. And we're going to have a showing tonight on PBS, a PBS Wisconsin special. We'll talk some more about that in just a minute or so. Natalie Guyette, our on-air producer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at a cappella singing today. Our two guests, Colin Crowley, producer at PBS Wisconsin, produced this new PBS Wisconsin special. We'll talk some more about it. So he's one of our guests. The other, Dennis Gephardt, choral director at Port Washington High School and creator and host of the Acapocalypse Concert. And great to have both of them with us. Certainly, if you have questions or comments, I hope you will join in. Are you involved in an a cappella group? What draws you to them? Do you have any favorite groups you'd like to share with us? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Dennis, the history of a cappella in Wisconsin, you know anything about the history? How far back does it go?
Well, I think it can go back as much as you want to. We go back to barber shoppers, and if you look on the webpage for the PBS show, they have a bunch of stuff on the bottom, a bunch of video clips, and we go back into Gregorian chant, madrigals, and barber shoppers. And like you, I know that you were a barber shopper, and the caller before said he was a barber shopper. I think that's something that really was around Wisconsin for a long time. And as that grew, so did vocal jazz, and you had groups like New York Voices and Take Six, things like that. Bobby McFerrin was here. And so that kind of cultivated it, kind of infusing R&B and barbershop harmonies. And kind of working that into what we have right now for contemporary a cappella.
I just wondered, are you or any of the kids associated with what's the acronym, SPEBSQA, the Society for the Preservation and Betterment of Barbershop Quartets in America?
Yeah, in fact, the year before that, we brought in a barbershop group from down in Milwaukee. And we feature them at Acapocalypse too, and that's what we kind of like to do. And is we try to get just not all contemporary a cappella students up on stage for that festival, but we brought in barber shoppers. We've brought in Vintage Mix, which is a group of young singers down by Milwaukee that are barber shoppers as well. And that's why we invited Milwaukee High School of the Arts into it too, because they have a much stronger vocal jazz background. And it's, even though it's an a cappella concert, all of those aspects include a cappella. So we try to incorporate as much as we can to show the kids that there's so much out there.
Chris from Adams called to say she's interested in the different timbres of people's voices, especially those related, since they have a similar but different sound. She mentioned a group of three sisters, Roches.
I'm not positive about that.
I'm not either. But the timbres, the whole business, and the different timbres that you hear in a cappella are so beautiful.
Yeah, when we try to arrange music, we do a lot of our own arrangements, and as we talk to people, we look at different qualities, and with it being a cappella, really what we're doing is trying to emulate a song with all the instruments, and the voice becomes that instrument. So when you're listening to the show tonight, we have one on vocal ranges, and you can hear my bass. We do everything we can to make him sound like a bass, guitar or an upright bass. So he has a lot different timbre than what we would have as a soprano or the alto or the tenors, which we, a lot of times they'll cover like the brass instruments and the saxophones and things like that. So we talk about where that placement is in their mouth to try to get that sound. And everybody, you know, we all still breathe the same and we have good choral technique, but it's a lot of it within in their mouth and where that placement is so that they can emulate that instrument.
Let's take another call. Kitty from Glendale, Wisconsin. It's your turn. Hi, Kitty.
Hi. I saw a group from Fort Washington perform with the Chieftains on March 7th at the Riverside, and I just want to give a great big shout-out. They were great.
That was
you
limited edition.
Up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kitty. Thanks very much. Let's hear. We've got something from the kids from Gail Ettrick Trempolo. That are featured in the PBS Wisconsin special tonight. Let's hear that, Tyler.
Just do it how you did it before. They have to know that they can make mistakes, and they have to know that you're not judging them, but you're only there to make them better.
That was it that time. You can hold that note out, too, like you did before.
He really, like, gets people up to the level he wants them to be and then, like, keeps raising that bar.
'Cause the writing's on the wall.
Have a seat. That was good.
We fixed minor parts that may need fixing, and then usually we'll have a song up and running within like two rehearsals.
Ah, that's beautiful. Colin, it must have been a lot of fun shooting this.
It really was. What you heard there was that's GET. He's a graduating senior last night, a really good young man called Carter Bennett. And you also heard the teacher, Ryan Stumpke's, talking. What's interesting about Gale Electric Tremplo High School is it's a high school of only 400 students, so a small high school out in western Wisconsin. And over the past years, through working with Dennis and really putting a lot of hard work into this, they've become recognized as a nationally ranked a cappella group from this small high school in Wisconsin. And what was fun about including them is it really highlighted, as it did with the other high schools, just how much hard work these students put into this and how much dedication you see coming from the teachers. And that was a big goal of ours, was to try to take viewers inside a high school classroom. And as Dennis said, whenever anybody asks me, well, what do you want us to do for the cameras? My response is just do what you would normally do on any given day. And I want to show that to people. I want to take people inside a high school choir class. And, you know, a lot of times we hear a lot of negative things about teenagers today, and we hear, like, you know, they're always on their phones, they're not working hard. And, you know, we found just the opposite. We found that kids are working really hard. They're coming together to create this great product. And I think when people watch the show tonight, they're really going to see how that all comes together in stage performances.
Kitty was wondering in an email, what time, and give us the particulars of the airing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to air tonight at 8 p.m. on PBS Wisconsin. You can also go to pbswisconsin.org/acapocalypse, and maybe you can put that on your website so people can spell it correctly. And we have an entire website that features the whole broadcast show, plus a handful of extra videos that show more behind the scenes from the classroom, individual concerts. We created a series of animated explainers that talk about the history of a cappella, the different vocal timbres that your caller was asking about, and also just things like how do voices come together to build a chord. So a lot of this has an educational value as well. If there are people with kids out there who are interested in music, we think this will be a really great resource for them. So tune in tonight at 8 p.m. on PBS Wisconsin.
Was there anything that really surprised you about the kids who participate?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, these are kids who are 15, 16, 17 years old, and they're getting up in front of crowds of 600 people or more, and they're putting themselves on the line. You know, when you're singing with your own voice, there's nothing between you and the audience. It's your vocal cords, and so much of our voice is what makes up our personality. So when you're putting yourself out there with your voice, you're really putting your personality out on stage to be judged, and that takes an incredible amount of confidence for young people to get out there on stage and do that. And the way they gain that confidence is through all the hard work that they put into it and the guidance that they get from these amazing teachers who are giving them the tools they need to go out on stage and put out these performances. So that, I just think, you know, we've had this comment before. I'm sure Dennis has heard it before when limited edition performs. People are going to be blown away when they see the level of performance quality that these Wisconsin high school kids are displaying.
I would certainly agree with that. What's other callers? By the way, you can join in too at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org with your own experiences or questions. Let's take another call. Val in Green Bay, thank you for calling.
Yes. I remember watching a program on public television a few years back. It was about English nurses who were prisoners of war by the Japanese. And what they did is they sang classical music, but not the words. They tried to recreate the instruments. And then they did this for several years after the war also. I was just wondering if you'd ever heard of this.
Oh, Colin or Dennis? Dennis, have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, we've done something similar. And the Swingle Singers, which is a group from the 1960s, 70s, they're actually still around, but they did pieces that were orchestra pieces. And we've done pieces like Flight of the Bumblebee, where basically you're taking those songs and just putting them into your vocal repertoire, almost like a jazz person would be singing scat, but it would be everybody doing all the syllables. So we love doing that. We have a few non-worded songs as well that we do that where we don't have any words and we just are focusing on vowels. It really kind of hones their embouchure and their choral blend, because when you don't have those words, then you just take away and you focus on the timbre of the song and how everything kind of flows together and how it's structured and the overtones and things like that.
In the special, we see parts from last year, from the Acapocalypse concert from last year. Tell us that. Talk a little more about that group that was featured from Milwaukee High School for the Arts.
Yeah, Milwaukee High School for the Arts. It's a fantastic program. Ray Roberts has had that for years. They are always in winning Downbeat Awards off for jazz ensembles, and it's a different structure, different music, but with the same concepts. So when they came together, it's always exciting to see these students, and although they're singing different music, they have so much to share that's similar. So, you know, they got done performing and doing sound checks, and we were hanging out with them. And as soon as it was over, my kids were like, "I want to do that piece. I want to sound like that." and just learning different styles. All these kids are eager to just absorb everything that they come in contact with. So it was nice. It brought us back to a little bit more of the vocal jazz style that we had been known for many years. But yeah, they do an amazing job.
You know what? We've got a sample of that. Tyler, have you got that sample we could play? It's absolutely beautiful, isn't it? That's a very traditional song, isn't it?
Yeah, yep. That one's been around for many, many years, and it's really stands its test in time because it has so many great chord structures and it has so many educational components in there for the students.
So how do they react when they sing those songs, perhaps, versus some of the current things that they're working on, revising?
Yeah. Like right now, since we're not in school, they have a composition software and they're actually writing their own songs. We've had some kids that are a little bit further and they're kind of doing their own lyrics, which is real exciting. They're taking the whole concept of music and doing it where other kids are doing the arranging part. And they're finding songs that they can emote with, and they're starting the arranging process. And that's a totally different element right now for them, but they're loving it. I just had a meeting, a Google Hangout meeting with two of my students this morning, and we were looking over their pieces and how they can arrange it. and structure it differently than what they had thought so that it'd be more appealing to their audience. So it's a definite new concept for them, but they love doing it.
I just wonder, as you're talking, you know, of course, no schools are in session. Have they been, would it actually be possible? I guess it would, maybe, to practice via something like Zoom or one of those shared devices?
Well, what we do, what I'm doing, I guess, is the last day that we had them, I had songs picked out, and this was with all my choirs, and we gave them part tracks where they can go home and they can, in like one ear, they have a song, and in the right ear, they have their part. And they basically can go home, listen to their part, learn it, and then start incorporating it with the other side and learn their songs that way. So they're doing that, and then I can assess them off of a different software, which basically they record it, send it to me, and then I can give them critiques back and forth. So with modern technology, it's working. It's definitely not the best. And this is a true testament to brick and mortar schools and how important they are in these students' lives. But we're making it as good as we can.
Yeah, there's, you know, and you certainly don't want this to have happened. But I guess if we had something, if something good can come out of it, it's the fact that, well, we've had to use our brains to figure out other ways of learning, and maybe some of this can be incorporated down the road in future courses when we're all back together again.
Yeah, it's going to be a wait and see how everything goes, and then sit back and assess what worked and what didn't. But yeah, we're because there's been some times where I've thought about doing like a Zoom where everybody practiced, but the lag time between different internet providers makes it fall apart real quick.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but I guess that would definitely be the case. So back to you, Colin. Let's go back over kind of the basics of your PBS Wisconsin special and talk a little more about it.
So the special features, as I mentioned, these three Wisconsin high schools, Port Washington, Gale Electric Tremplo in Western Wisconsin, and Milwaukee High School of the Arts. And I think what people are going to see from it is just the level of talent and dedication that's happening in high schools all around the state, literally from one side of the state to the other. And in showing these schools in the classroom, in concert, and also we have sections where we showed these groups of young people going out and bringing their craft into the community. And that was another thing that really struck me, is that when communities support these schools, anytime communities support the arts in young people, everybody wins. The students win, the teachers win, the schools win, and the communities win. And Dennis can talk about this a little bit more too. Every single one of these groups, they don't just do it for themselves. They take it out, they perform for elementary school kids, they perform at retirement homes, they perform the national anthem at local games, they perform for local businesses. And it's really great to see just how it pays off when we support the arts in young people. And I think Dennis can tell you a little bit more about what they do to bring it out into the community.
Yeah, Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, well, we're a public school, so the people that are paying for this is our community. So it basically, anytime that somebody has something, we have a fantastic administration and a really supportive community. So we'll go out, especially like during the holiday season, and we'll be performing for a lot of groups and organizations. I think we had at one time, you know, we were out possibly 20 times during the month of December alone. The lady had said that we were just down in Milwaukee opening up or singing with the Chieftains. And it's really nice because we don't have to pack a lot of instruments. We can just kind of go out and do a small group. We've done old folks' homes, women's clubs, and we've also done a lot of larger events like national conventions and things like that where people have wanted us to perform. So we pretty much any time that we can get out, we'll get out because that's what our curriculum is. We're a performing curriculum. That's what we have done all this for, is to show everybody what we were doing in the classroom. And it's kind of nice to see that at a time like this, where everybody's kind of confined, if you look on social media, how many people really have embraced their musicianship and are posting all the time. I'm flooded with all these people performing in small groups or piano solos and just kind of expressing. So it is a way to cope through these hard times.
I certainly agree with that. I can't tell you just from my own FaceTime the number of people who have just picked up their guitar or just started performing a little bit, and it's really fun to see. And these kids, you know, as I think about my own experiences, I'm sure it helped me overcome a little stage fright. It helped gain confidence in me. And I'm sure you're seeing those kinds of things, Dennis, in your own students.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm probably most proud of is when these students start, you know, as a lot of times they're not up there doing presentations or talking to people. And as we go out and perform for our communities, I always tell the community members, these are the kids that you want in your business, because they're the ones that are looking you in the face, are shaking your hand and feel comfortable talking to large groups, because they've already had opportunities where, you know, they've performed for 800. I think GET performed at a festival. They had over 5,000 people that they did, you know, and if you can think about how nervous you would be performing in, you know, or talking a little bit in front of small groups, to stand up in front of all those people and look at them and then be as genuine and as vulnerable as you can. That takes a lot for kids to do, but these kids master it really well.
Tom in Nelson, Wisconsin has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Hello, guys. Yes, I had the pleasure of singing at the Eau Claire State University at the time, back in 1967, 68, 69, with an 80-voice a cappella choir. And we toured Wisconsin, and then the following summer, we actually did a tour of Europe for 21 days with 25 concerts. My question is, I wondered if you brought in any college groups to your festival to perform. And the second part of the question is, where do your kids end up going to schools that maybe they can further their a cappella choir experience?
Yeah.
Good question.
We bring in a lot of college groups. We actually, the very first group in that wasn't featured, but if you go onto the website at PBS, and I think it's up right now, there's an a cappella group of teachers that were the very first act for that show. So we do that. And then we also have another smaller kind of event called the Final Countdown in January. And that's the best time for college groups. They usually tour at that time. So we usually feature a lot of college groups at that festival or that concert in January. In regards to your second question, a lot of my students are, like right now, I have one that's going and applied to Eau Claire and a lot of the state schools, Lawrence University. I have one that Reagan Sergis, she went down to Belmont University in Nashville and Butler University. So there's a lot of places that are embracing it. It's a little bit hard right now to find a college with an actual staff member on staff that does contemporary a cappella. I think UW Parkside is the only one in Wisconsin right now that has a contemporary a cappella or a contemporary commercial program. So if you have a child that's looking at doing something in music and contemporary music, UW Parkside has that program.
Yeah. And then just to wrap up, Colin, give us the specifics again as to the time and so forth.
Sure. So this the title of this program is Acapocalypse, Acapella's New Note, and it premieres tonight at 8 p.m. on PBS Wisconsin. You can also watch it online at pbswisconsin.org, and we've created an entire website that features all sorts of great extra clips and performances. And for any of your listeners who don't get PBS Wisconsin but have something like a smart TV or a Roku box, they can install the PBS app and they can search for a cappella. So the spelling of that is two words. That's A-C-A-P-P-E-L-L-A. So two words, two P's, two L's.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be tuning in for sure at 8 o'clock tonight, Colin and Dennis. Thank you both so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. I hope you enjoy the program.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. And we have all the information up on our WPR.org/Larry. If you want to learn some more, just go to WPR.org/Larry and you will find out some more about it. Colin Crowley produced the PBS Wisconsin special. Dennis Gephardt, choral director at Port Washington High School and creator and host of the I thought I was going to pronounce it one way or another wrong at some point. Well, I'll tell you what. ACAPOCALYPSE. That concert. Oh, man. Well, coming up, we're going to switch gears a bit with you. I know a lot of people working from home these days. Many folks, though, are risking their health by getting to their jobs. And we're going to be talking about what we can do to help those folks with Shyla Morgain. Coming up next on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller.